Turn to a portion of scripture found in the book of Psalms, where I'd like to speak to you this morning, the Lord being my helper, on the subject of true worship of God. Now, you know, people all over the land in which we live, state of Georgia, all across the United States, get up on Sunday morning. They go to what they call church, but we don't go to church. We don't come here to church. This is the meeting house, of the Lord. The church is the people that make up the membership of the place where you meet. So that's the church. But people all over the land go to church and they say they worship God. But the scripture describes for us, which I want us to look at this morning, the proper way to worship the Lord. The true worship is important. It's important to the Lord that His children worship Him according to the dictates of the scripture, according to what the scripture describes as to how we ought to worship God for His mighty works and His deeds that He has done for us. We'll find here in the book of Psalms 99, it describes a lot about this God that we worship and how we ought to worship Him. And we'll begin with that. It says in Psalms 99, he said, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." Now, beginning there, it says, "The Lord reigneth." Now, lots of people worship God, but they don't realize and understand and know that there's a God of heaven and earth that's seated. Jesus is seated there at His right hand, at the right hand of God the Father. And the Lord reigneth. He is in control, and He is not one that's sitting there and out of mind because of the way the things are going in the world. The Lord reigneth. He is in control. It says, "The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people." When you worship God, you must realize that God is high. When we worship Him, we ought to lift God up, make Him higher than the people, because He is higher than the people. Some people meet together and they praise man, or they praise something else other than the God Himself who reigneth. It says, the kings let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for He is holy. Now, what does that word holy mean? Holy means He's sinless. Holy means He's perfect in all that He does. Holy means there's one scripture that describes Jesus as being holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So when you worship God, you must remember that God is holy, but man is not holy. Men, as men, we are not holy. We are sinners by nature. But we have something within us that God has given to us, and we would not have it if God had not given it to us, and He didn't give it to us because of anything that we did to deserve it. He gave it to us because He loved us and chose us and elected us in a covenant of grace before the world was, and He reached down and rescued you from the fallen state we were in Adam. and made you a proper subject to call upon his name and to worship him. But we must worship him the proper way. It says here in verse 5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." There it is again. He's holy. In other words, God is sinless, but we are sinners by nature, and we must exalt the Lord to be holy. You know, every Bible I've ever seen, including this one I've got before me, has on the front of it, "Holy Bible." Why is this Bible holy? This Bible is holy because the words that it contains are from a holy God. And all the Bible, each and every scripture, is all perfect. It harmonizes. It's the word of God to his people that he has quickened and given life. So we must worship God and exalt him, for we are sinners by nature, and he is holy. And we're here for no other purpose but to worship and adore and exalt him above ourselves. We exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Now going on down into this, the very last verse of this scripture says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." When we worship God, we must worship him with the realization that he is perfect in everything that he does, and we have met together to worship him and to adore him as he is holy, and exalt him above men and above the children of God themselves. Now we want to take a look at some things that describe this worship and the proper way to do it, and we'll hopefully you will be able to see what is the difference when you go to somewhere to worship the Lord and you worship the Lord properly or correctly, and where you might go to us somewhere where you might not worship the Lord the way it should be. There's a distinction between the way that you worship the Lord. We'll find it over here in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll find a scripture that says we're to worship before the Lord. Now, before I even read this particular portion of scripture, I want you to notice as we go through it one thing that's crucial and important. These people were described as worshiping the Lord for what? For what the Lord God had given them. They wasn't worshiping God for anything that they had done for themselves or anything they'd earned or anything that they got because of what they did. They were worshiping God because he had given them something. Now this is a type and shadow from the Old Testament of the way we worship God in the New Testament. We'll see that as we read down through this. It's in Deuteronomy, and we'll begin here Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we'll begin here at verse 5, and it says, "And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there He went down into Egypt, and he sojourned there with a few and became there a great nation, a great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. See, they were worshiping the Lord, and they got criticism from others for their worship. And when we cried unto the Lord, God, the God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with a great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. You see, this was God who was delivering Israel out of Egypt. And what was he delivering them to? He was delivering them to a land that he had given them. Not a land that they had earned, not a land that they had purchased, but a land that the Lord gave unto them. Now, what's the significance there? If we're worshiping in the New Testament age, we're worshiping the Lord for something he has given to us. And what is that? The scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So the Lord gave you eternal life. We're here to worship the Lord for what he has given us, eternal life by his grace, not because of anything you did to get it, but because the Lord gave it to you. And if you worship the Lord properly, as these people were instructed to worship the Lord for the land that God had given them, then we're meeting together to worship the Lord for that he's given to us, which is eternal life. We are in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It says in verse 9, and he hath brought us into this place, hath given us this land. You see, there it is. He hath brought us to this place. He hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. Yes, indeed, he gave it to them, and they worshiped him. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Worship the Lord. Worship before the Lord. Bring your sacrifices and worship the Lord for what he has given to you. And these people here in the book of Deuteronomy were worshiping the Lord for the place that the Lord had brought them and given them. They were worshiping the Lord the proper way. And we're worshiping the Lord in the proper way if we meet together and worship the Lord for that he's done for us, that he's given us, eternal life, which is what the Lord has given to his children in order for them to have the desire to worship the Lord. So that's critical and important that you worship the Lord in the proper way, in that way. Now we want to turn over here to the book of First Chronicles, where we'll see we're to give the Lord the glory that's due unto His name. When we meet together, that's the proper way to worship the Lord. Give the Lord the glory that's due unto His name. We'll find here in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, it says here, beginning at verse 23, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Set forth from day to day His salvation." You see, salvation is of the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. You see, that doesn't say my salvation. It's the Lord's salvation that He brought and gave to you. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared among all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are due unto His in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord the ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship the Lord and we do it in the beauty of holiness, because all holiness, of course, is from Him, by Him, and through Him. And He indeed, as we've already read over in the book of Psalms, is holy. The Lord is in the worship, so we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth, and the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. There's that word again, the Lord reigneth. Remember that the Lord is in heaven, and He reigns. He reigns, and we're to worship Him and give Him all the glory and honor for salvation that is of the Lord. Now turning over again, over into the book of Psalms, we'll see another scripture that says a proper way to kneel, to worship the Lord, is to kneel before Him. That's a proper way to worship the Lord. It says here in this portion of the Psalms, it says in verse 6 of 95 of the 95th Psalm, "Come, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." So we're to bow down. We're to kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's a proper mode of worship, a proper position from which to worship. Now it says, beginning here at the verse, at the very first of this, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Yes, kneel and bow down and praise the God of our salvation is a proper way of worshiping Him from a position that we should take to worship the Lord. We'll also find in the book of Psalms, Psalms 97, it says, actually Psalms 96, it says in verse 7, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." We're to give glory unto the Lord for what He's done for us. Give glory unto the Lord for what He has provided for us, given to us, and that He blesses us with. It's a proper way to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness in the Lord. Beginning at verse 5 here of 96 Psalm, he said, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glow, honor, and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, and unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto His name. Bring all offerings and come unto His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, and the world also should be established, that it should not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the world of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." Come before the Lord, worship Him in the beauty of holiness, and as we meet together and worship the Lord Heaven, the Lord of heaven and of earth. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Matthew, where we'll see a situation that's described here by Jesus when Jesus was taken by Satan himself and tempted Him after He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus is going to answer one of the things that Satan described. One of the things that Satan said unto ask Jesus to do. And what was the answer that Jesus gave him? It's critical and important for us to know how to properly worship the Lord. It's in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I can imagine how he was hungered after fasting for 40 days without food. He was hungered, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That was Jesus' answer to making stones out of bread. Could he have done it? Yes, he could have. He could have just spoken, and bread would have appeared without the stones. But he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee." Concerning thee, and their hands and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And then Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, "All these things will I give thee." In other words, bribing Jesus to do something that he should not do. He says, "All these things will I give thee, all these kingdoms, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said unto him, and this is a proper way to worship the Lord, Jesus said unto him, "Get thee behind, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him shalt thou serve. In other words, no worship of anything else except the Lord. He is the only one that's worthy of worship. And Jesus described it here to Satan. "Satan, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We worship the Lord, and we worship him only. There's no room for worship of anyone or anything else other than the Lord himself. We only here to worship the Lord God of heaven and earth. And now we want to turn over here to the book of John, where we'll find this. And this is a very critical scripture, because lots of God's children worship God, and they worship him in spirit. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God, but they do not worship him in truth. And the significance of worshiping God is worshiping him not only in the spirit that God has given to you, but in the truth of the scriptures. The truth that salvation is of the Lord. The truth that you had nothing to do with that God has given you, but God gave it to you, not because you were deserving of it, but because he loved you in a covenant of grace before the world was. And so we're to worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. And we'll find this in the book of John chapter 4, beginning there at verse 20. And this particular portion of scripture, this was an occasion where Jesus had met the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and she was there to draw water, and she'd had a conversation with Jesus, and she was asking him some questions, and he gave her some very critical answers to her questions. And this particular question found in John chapter 4, we'll begin there at verse 20. She said unto him, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that it's in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And then Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming, and now is. The hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now, a lot of people have gathered this morning to go to church, go to worship, but they're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. They are worshiping the Lord based upon something that they did, or something that somebody else did for them other than the Lord. And that's not worshiping the Lord in truth if you're worshiping the Lord in that way. So the Lord seeketh such to worship him, that not only worship him in spirit, but also worship him in truth. And so this is an instruction that Jesus gave to the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob's well. And so the woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." So she didn't realize that, so Jesus just told her, "I am the one that you're speaking of." She said, "I know when Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, he will tell us all things." And then Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto you am he." Yes, indeed, worshiping the Lord, not only in the spirit of God, but in the truth of God, that's critical and very important. Now we want to turn over here to another scripture that's found in the closing books of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we'll see some things here that are described for us as the proper way to worship God. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, it says here in verse 6 of that chapter, "And I saw another angel in the midst of heaven." Now here John is writing this book of Revelation. "And he saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. And he had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth." So John saw an angel who had the gospel who was preached to God's children here upon the earth, that dwell upon the earth. And then he describes here, which to me is a wonderful description of who the gospel is to. It's not to every individual. It's not to every single person. This describes it very beautifully. John saw another angel. He saw him in the midst of heaven. He saw that he had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth. Who did he preach it to that dwell upon the earth? He describes it. And to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Now, what does that describe? Does that describe every human being of Adam's race? It does not. It describes the elect, because the elect are those that God chose out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, out of every people. What John saw here is an angel that had the everlasting gospel to preach to them that were on the earth, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, the elect children of God, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him, and made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters." In other words, the gospel is preached to the elect, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God," to them through the gospel. Fear God. Give glory to Him. Glory to God. For the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth. Who is that? That's God. And the sea, that's God. And the fountains of the waters, that's God. Yes, indeed. Worship the true and the living God, and the true and the living God only. Yes, indeed. Now, one last scripture here we'll take here from the book of Revelations, close to the ending of John's writing in the book of the Revelation that God revealed unto him, inspired him to pen for us. And we'll find here in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, it says, "Then said he unto me," we'll begin up here at verse 5 of that chapter. "And there shall be no night there, and there shall be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever." Now he's describing people that are in heaven in that verse. And then he said unto me, "These sayings are faithful and true." In other words, these things that I wrote before, including that there'll be no night there, there'll be need no candle, neither need the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. That's all true, he said. "And this I said, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." There's a blessing in the children of God keeping and doing the things that are instructed to them in the Word of God. And that's what he's saying here. Blessed are the is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now, you see what John did? He fell down and he worshiped the angel. Well, there's a scripture that says we're to worship God and God alone. After John did that, he said, then said he unto me, see thou do it not. Do what not? Don't worship the angel. But who do you worship then? See that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. In other words, the angel told him, I am just a fellow servant, just like you. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. In other words, all that keep the sayings of this book because of what God has given to them, they worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the first and the last. Keep his sayings and worship the Lord God of heaven and of earth. Yes, indeed, there is indeed, according to the scriptures, a proper way and an improper way to serve the Lord. So we want to always try to be in the right way of worship when we meet out to worship the Lord. We're going back to our text in the book of Psalms 99. It says in verse 5 that the first item in worshiping the Lord is to exalt him. Exalt the Lord high and lift it up. Look up unto him, for he is holy, and we are but sinners by nature. So we're to exalt him. It says, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And then in verse 9, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hills, for the Lord our God is holy. True worship of God. Worship the Lord. Exalt him. We saw a scripture that said we're to worship the Lord, the Lord God, the Lord. We shall worship before the Lord thy God. Why? How will we worship before him? By bringing our sacrifices, which is the things that God has given to us. He has given us eternal life. Bring that eternal life before God and worship him for giving it to us, bringing it to us when we would not have it except that the Lord brought it to us. Worship the Lord for the things, and come before him for the things he has given unto us. Give the Lord all the honor that's due unto his name. When we worship and pray to God, we kneel before him, and we kneel and bow down before the Lord our God. We to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, realizing what holiness is and what we are by nature, except by the word, the things that God has given to us that cause us to be able to do things that would be considered righteous or holy. We to worship the Lord thy God, and him only, no other no other purpose, no one else is worthy of any worship save the God of heaven and earth and Him alone. We're to worship God in spirit, not only in spirit, but also in truth, in the truth of what His Scripture teaches about how salvation came unto us when we were unworthy and unable to do anything for ourselves. We're to fear God and give Him all the glory for His works and mighty hand which He has brought unto us. We're to keep His sayings and worship God, which the book of Revelation, as John saw the angel who brought the gospel to the people of God, that did the sayings of the Lord and worshiped Him and called upon His name because of what He had done for them. Yes, indeed, a true worship of God is critical and important. It's most people do some worship of God, but it's not all according to the way the Scripture describes for us to worship Him. So we want to remember these things and keep them in our mind in the future as we endeavor to worship the Lord God of heaven and of earth. I thank you for your good attention, and we'll sing a song, announce the open doors of the church in any way. And she receives memos if you have that desire. You have that option.